We've been challenging you guys the last couple of weeks to join us on the 21-day prayer and fasting journey. We've given you a little journal that our denomination Converge helped put together. And we've been asking you to spend the time each day abstaining from something, food, television, whatever it might be, and replacing it with time with God and listening to His voice. It's been fun for me to be on the journey with you, and one of the surprising things that's happened in my life is part of my kind of goal was to turn the TV off for a while at night and then spend that time praying and fasting before the Lord. And so that's been great. I haven't missed TV as much as I thought I would. But one of the side benefits that I didn't think about is it's freed up more time for Julie and I to spend time together. And we've been playing Scrabble most nights. And I know that might sound kind of nerdy, but only really intelligent people understand what I'm saying. It's Scrabble. And it's really been fun. We used to do that years ago, but we just get so busy. And so with Scrabble, you can talk and, you know, how you make up as long words as you can and stuff. And one of the things that if you want to be good at Scrabble is you need a dictionary. Julie always accuses me of making up words, which, of course, I would never do. But I occasionally get caught that my word isn't real or I've spelled it wrong. And so you got to have a dictionary. But there's a secret to Scrabble, too, as well. You need to memorize the Q words and the words with X and with Z and those kinds of things, because you can get big points on those words if you happen to draw those tiles. Just a little tidbit there for you. I'm sure it'll be life-changing in one way or another, but I've just enjoyed that God sort of freed up time for me to focus differently on Him, on my ministry here personally, on my wife and my kids. So I hope that God's been speaking to you, and I hope that you've been enjoying growing in your relationship with Him during this journey. I'm kind of rounding out this teaching time on prayer and fasting today with this general idea. Prayer and fasting has immeasurable spiritual benefits for you and for the church, all of us corporately and collectively together. Before I jump in, let me pray for us. Father, we love you. We're eternally grateful for your love for us. Thank you for initiating with us with your son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for joining us in humanity and understanding how hard it is and those kinds of things. But thanks for overcoming and never sinning. And thanks for being willing to take our sin and the terrible things that we've done and thought over the years upon you on the cross and wipe those sins out and then raise from the dead to show that you are God and you can give us forgiveness and eternal hope in your presence. And so we're grateful. Holy Spirit, we're always thankful for you as well, for how you teach us, how you help us understand Scripture, how you whisper in our hearts and give us words to say and things to pray about when we don't know how to do that. And so we praise you as well. And so, Jesus, we love you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Prayer and fasting has immeasurable spiritual benefits. One of the big picture kinds of things that it does is it creates new patterns, priorities, and the strength to obey. It creates new patterns, priorities, and the strength to obey. I'm in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. One of the verses I've been concentrating on is this. It's in a great message that God gave through Jesus. Jesus is speaking here, and he says this principle: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed or satisfied and have joy and peace are those that really desire to be in right standing before God, really desire for God to be the center of their lives, for they will be filled. Filled is a word for being satisfied when you eat enough, you know, and it's one of the reasons why, just another little tidbit for you, you're supposed to eat slowly. You know why? Because it gives your stomach time to give you the signal that you're full. When you eat fast like I do, you go, ooh, it's too late, you know, so you have to slow it down. You're being filled and directed and empowered by God's Spirit if you have the desire to follow Him above all people, above all things. So when you spend this extended time with God, He tends to talk to you about what are your real desires, what is satisfying your life. And, you know, honestly, I mainly did this series for you guys, but I've been startled at how much God has spoken to me personally. Go figure. You know, I don't just do things for you. I'm learning as I go with you and preach and those kinds of things. And you know, it's just amazing how when you have those gut check moments about things that you desire other than God. And it's a normal thing. It's part of the broken world. It's part of our broken nature. But you need to be honest and say, God, help me to not be satisfied in other things besides you. Help me set right priorities because life is short. And then give me, please, Lord, give me the strength to obey. I'm in Luke chapter 22. Here we see Jesus praying before he was about to go to the cross. And there's some interesting things that we can kind of talk about here in terms of how Jesus was getting strength and having priority of following God in his life. Verse 39 of Luke 22. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Another thing that prayer and fasting is good for is to battle the evil one and temptations and things like that we have. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." I love that honest statement. That's kind of a great model for our prayer life. Here, God, this is kind of what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. But I want what you want more than I want what I want, right? I want to follow you with courage. After this, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. He was obviously understanding what separation from God the Father was going to be like, what the pain that he was going to go through on the cross, most of which we can never imagine. When he rose from prayer, he went back to his disciples, and he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping? To get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Whenever I read this, I just am humbled and admire Jesus so much for what he's done for us and his willingness to follow God and to obey. But obviously he needed strength to do that, right? And God, through the angels, the Holy Spirit gave him strength. We need the same thing. We don't need to be going through life sleeping. I had a friend that used to say you can sleep when you're dead. That might be a little bit extreme, but we need to be serious and ask God for help and strength to follow him with great boldness, to set priorities in the right way, both as individuals and as a church. And we need to be willing to be heartbreakingly honest with God about how we're doing and what's tempting us and what we're struggling with. So I believe that abstaining from normal activities of some kind, food, whatever it might be, replacing it with time from God to pray and fast helps create better desires in our hearts, new patterns, priorities, and the strength to obey. Here's another thing. It also develops a sense of unity and direction. You don't just pray as an individual. You're a relational being praying to a relational God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then you're grafted into the body of Christ. You're in relationships with one another. You should be. And so it's really hard to get off track in the living of your life and fight about things that don't matter, to get polarized in your thinking. And God says, look, prayer and fasting and talking to me can help you have that sense of unity. For example, I could just say, what if I said this? In my time with God, I felt like God was saying to me that we as a church should not watch football anymore starting today. Would that be a unifying direction? No, probably not. And some wives might be really happy. Some husbands may be happy. Some others might just, you know, have withdrawal symptoms like me or something. So I'm not talking about unity around things that don't matter that much. I'm talking unity around the heart of God and his desire to reach more people for himself and those kinds of things. John 17, a famous prayer. Again, we're learning about prayer and fasting. A famous prayer from Jesus. He says this in verse 20. "My prayer is not for them alone, for the disciples, for the people that he spent his life with, passing on the ministry and the task of commissioning them to go serve. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and you have loved them even as you have loved me." A little bit of a confusing way to say this, but he's saying, it works better in the Greek language, but he's saying, look, I want everyone to get on the same page. people in the world need to know who Jesus is. And I want us to be one and unified about that. We can disagree about other kinds of things that are preferences or whatever, but we need to be unified around the person and the work of Christ and that people need to know him. So unity, you hear this a lot in church circles and even in community. The best thing to do is to be unified. We need to be unified as believers. But people often miss the point of that passage. What's unity for? It's not to be unified and to love each other and those kinds of things. What's it for? So that the world may know about Jesus. Unity based upon Jesus is real unity. It's not based upon a philosophy of life or an environmental cause. All those are good and those kinds of things. It's based upon Christ so that the world may know. Unity has the purpose to tell the world about Jesus. Paul had this sense of drive. The Apostle Paul had the sense of drive and unity in his life that I think that we can learn from. Acts 4. The early church learned from him. This Paul, we learn when he became a believer of Jesus Christ. We learned about Paul's impact. But I want to just read this passage of Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Basically, Peter and John were being persecuted and said, you can't talk about Jesus, stop doing this. So what was the believer's first response, the early church? It wasn't to protest or to fight or anything. It was to get together and pray. Let's pray about this and see what God has to say. So they were praying. They asked God for them help to speak the word of Christ boldly. And then in verse 32, this is the result. All the believers were in one heart and in one mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord. Jesus and much grace was upon them. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone as he had need. I bring this section up because unity and following Christ and praying together corporately, what that does is it makes us much more generous. And it helps us realize that we're just a steward of what God has given us. We don't own anything, and we should be holding these things loosely. We should be passing things on to other people if they have needs. Sharing and generosity are a part of the Christian life, and that comes from being unified about what's really important, which is Jesus Christ, telling people about him. As a result, God does some amazing things, and we tend to be more generous and willing to share and more aware of the needs around us. During this time of prayer and fasting, has God spoken to you about any directional things, any purpose kinds of things related to telling people about Christ? Any things about sharing possessions and being generous to others in need? This is the kind of stuff that God does when we abstain from being busy doing our own things and we spend more time with the Lord. Paul had a history of saying, you know what, don't pray for me that things would get better. Just pray that I would proclaim the word of God boldly, no matter what's happening around me. It develops a sense of unity and a sense of direction. One of the things, just a little plug for the annual meeting, if you want to come, you don't have to be a member to come, but if you want to come on Wednesday night, fellowship, eat, that's always a lot of fun. But then also begin to be unified with us as we talk about what we feel like God has for us here at chapel, as we talk about the great things that he's done and the great things that we're hoping he will continue to do, the dreams that we're pursuing. And it should be a fun time together. I hope you can join us. So prayer and fasting creates these big picture things, new patterns, priorities, strength to obey, unity and direction. The last little idea is this. Prayer and fasting unleashes. It unleashes God's power in our lives. It unleashes God's power in our lives. Acts chapter 4. I love this little section because it just talks about what God does and what he can do as people are praying. I'm in verse 27. So they're praying, right? Peter and John are being persecuted. They're not supposed to talk about Christ. What do we do as a church? We get together. We pray. Verse 27, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in a city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak the word with great boldness. Don't change our circumstances and make it all easy. Use this circumstance to help us speak more boldly. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled, they were directed, they were led, they were empowered, completely satisfied, and had a directional stance to it as well. I will follow you, God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly to others. I love the cool things that God can do when we are filled with His Spirit. Things that we wouldn't necessarily do normally or in our own personality or temperament. I think I've mentioned some of these things to you guys before, but you know, my personality type and temperament isn't one to want to speak all the time and to be up front and to be this charismatic person and draw the attention of people or whatever. I'm kind of quiet, and I sort of like to read a book and hang out with people more personally or whatever. But God gave me this job where I have a public platform of teaching and those kinds of things. And so I'm a living testimony of God through the Holy Spirit doing things through me that I'm just being honest with you, I couldn't do on my own. I just couldn't. And He helps me do these things. But probably more than just being a public speaker and a pastor and those kinds of things, He's used ordinary things to do supernatural things in my life. So what I mean by that is he's used ordinary circumstances like getting sick and needing to go to doctors and those kinds of things to help me share Christ more boldly in ways that I wouldn't have before. I was doing a little inventory about the types of people that I've talked to personally about Christ. Okay, and I won't give you the whole list, but it's interesting. I've talked to lawyers. I've talked to government politicians. A couple of them I really didn't like that much, but I talked to them about Christ. I've talked to doctors. I've talked to medical professionals. I've talked to higher education professionals. I've talked to teachers. I've talked to construction workers. I've talked to bus drivers. I mean, I go down this list, and you know, and it kind of humbles me because it's like, okay, so like I'm not that extraordinary of a person, but man, I've talked to a lot of people about the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit in my life, and it's in your life as well. I also got this idea that I wanted to write down the different countries that I've been to share Christ with people. Okay, again, not trying to make myself sound more important than I am, but I've shared Christ with people here in America. I've shared Christ with people in India, in Japan, in Russia, in Ukraine, in the former Czech Republic, Hungary, Romania, former Yugoslavia. What did I do to kind of travel around? What did I do to deserve that, to be able to talk about Christ? Absolutely nothing. But God, through His Spirit, allowed me to do those kinds of things, and I'm extraordinarily grateful. And you should be as well. This isn't unleashing the power of God in your life to be this spectacular, prominent person. It's unleashing the power of God's Spirit in your life to do what He's called you to do, to talk with people that He's called you to talk with. He challenges us, God does, with some of these words, and He does incredible things. Just again, I want you to understand how important God's word is. So I know this is a lot of scripture I've been giving you, but let me read you another, I'll break it down so it's not too long, another partial story about the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. So basically the apostles were arrested. They couldn't help but talk about the Lord, so they arrested. Then the high priest, in verse 17 of 5, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. Catch this. It's just real subtle, these sentences. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. You can almost like read over that and go, okay, that's kind of cool. But that's amazing. They were in jail. They were probably a little bit discouraged. It's nighttime. And all of a sudden, whoop, there's the door. It's open. And here's what I want you to do. Go preach the word of Christ boldly. I mean, this is an incredible thing. So I'm not saying that God can't do incredible things, but I think sometimes He uses ordinary things more than incredible. But either way, it's God's Spirit doing awesome stuff so that people can know about the Lord. Verse 29, just skip down to that. This is inspiring stuff. So the religious leaders found them preaching in the temple courts. They couldn't probably figure out how they got out of jail. It was weird. They came to him and they confronted him and said, "People and the other apostles replied to this confrontation, 'We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, and whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, and he might give repentance and forgiveness of the sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.'" That same Holy Spirit resides in us when we place our faith and trust in Jesus, as we allow him to be in control of our lives. These kinds of things happen. He speaks to us about what we should be doing. He allows us to be involved in ministry. If you guys remember some of the pillars, some of the values that we promote here at Chapel, we believe in the authority and the value of Scripture and the gospel. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. We believe in the local church as a body of believers that gather and grow together. We believe in fostering community and real relationships with folks. We believe in disciple making. We believe in being servants. All of those kinds of qualities are supposed to help us be more grounded and more unified in unleashing God's power in our lives wherever we go and whatever we do. One of the things that I'm hoping will come out of this 21-day prayer time is, I'm hoping that God has spoken to you like he's spoken to me. Another little thing that God said to me is, it's kind of a corollary to the Scrabble thing, again, just an ordinary thing, but he said that, Derek, if you're not careful, you just work all the time, like you work and you read books, and that's kind of weird, so maybe you should have fun. And so last night with a really good friend of mine here, I went to a Providence basketball game. I haven't been to a college basketball game forever. And we laughed and we talked about our families and we told stories and, I cheered for basketball players I didn't know from anybody, but it was fun. And I'm really trying to apply what God is saying to me personally as well as corporately as a church. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to hear from you guys. What has God been showing you? What has God been saying to you about your life, about your desires, about your priorities, about the church? What's he been saying to you about ideas about maybe what the church should be vested in and more involved in? We need your input in those kinds of things. So we created this little email. It's called 21days@chapelcares.com. 21days@chapelcares.com. And if you want to go on the website, you can click it, or if you just want to email it, it goes to me, and I would just like to hear from you. I would like to be encouraged by what God's been doing in your life, but I'd also like to put together some sort of testimony or storyboard on our website or something like that that can show us what God's been doing in our lives. Life's not that easy, and we need to encourage one another. And God doesn't speak to me. He speaks to all of us. And I would love to know what God's doing. And so if you could take advantage of that, that'd be awesome. The second little thing I'd like you to consider is maybe making a decision to make prayer and fasting a consistent discipline in your life. I'm not saying you have to do it every day, you have to do it every week, whatever. I'm just saying maybe consider abstaining from all the noise and the activities of life, making some changes, seeing what kind of has a hold of your heart more than Christ, and then replacing that with time with the Lord. Do that consistently. Have a consistent pattern of prayer. Pray for us as a church that we can maybe even figure out how to pray more together corporately. Whatever it is, this is something that God really wants you to do. I reminded you when I started this series that Jesus didn't say, if you fast, right? Remember what he said? When you fast. It's a regular part of what we do. Fasting and prayer is really, really important. So I hope that God's spoken to you. I'm really thankful that you allow me as your pastor to teach and to read scripture and to help you understand these things. I hope you've been encouraged by this brief little series. And I'd just like to pray for us now as we continue to worship, okay? Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, as I think just, this isn't about me, it's about you, Jesus. And I want people to remember you and what your word says, not my stories or whatever. But Father, as I think about my life, I just can't believe what your Holy Spirit's done with me. Left to my own devices, I'm pretty anxious and fearful, and yet you've given me courage and boldness to talk about you and to help teach people about you. I'm just, I don't know why you did that, but I'm super grateful. Super grateful for your love and your strength that's in me that I don't have. And Father, I pray that the rest of us would feel that same sense of desire and calling to want to be faithful to you, to want to serve you in wherever you put us, to want to have conversations with others, to want to be in a church that's unified around the most important things, not fighting about stuff that doesn't really matter. Thanks for giving us this place to do ministry in. Thanks for giving us this body of believers that encourage one another. Father, may we make prayer and fasting just a more consistent part of who we are. And may you speak loudly and clearly. Set our priorities, Lord Jesus. Set our new patterns. May our desire be you above all things. Give us direction. Give us unity. And may your Holy Spirit's power be released in visible and tangible ways that will draw people to you, Lord. We love you and we can't thank you enough for what you're doing in our lives and in our church. And we just want to say again, Jesus, we love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.